The killers will be stripped of guardianship rights to their children if they are convicted of murdering a partner or the parent of a child under plans to be discussed at Cabinet tomorrow. The law will be called Valerie's Law in honour of Valerie French, who was murdered by her husband James Kilroy in 2019. At Wednesday's, at tomorrow's Cabinet meeting, it's understood that Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan will ask the government to approve the text of the Guardianship of Infants Amendment Bill 2026. It will remove guardianship rights from those convicted of the murder or manslaughter of their partners or the other parent of their child. Well, we're joined on the line by a man we spoke to back 3 months ago who was calling and urging on the government to support the passing of Valerie's Law. That is the brother of Valerie French, David French, who joins us on the line now. David, thank you so much for joining us on the Kerry Today programme. We really appreciate your time. Your reaction to this news that this is progressing, that it seems that the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, is aiming to progress Valerie's Law and that it will be discussed at Cabinet tomorrow.
Hi, first, thanks for having me on again. It really, really positive progress. And Minister Jim O'Callaghan has, you know, signaled that this would be up for publication this session. So I really look forward to seeing the text of the bill and seeing the debate in the Dáil, and also really appreciate Minister Norma Foley, who has come out in support of the law, and I've met her in the last few months as well. And, you know, this is a child protection issue, and it's something that, as the Minister for Justice has said, this is about protecting children, and when someone has committed murder, you know, they've destroyed the family, so that family is not the safe place for the child anymore. And the child, you know, all the recent legislation talks about the children's rights, and this is an exact, really good example of it.
And at the time when we spoke to you, David, it was being reported that TUSLA, the Child and Family Agency, had been reported as objecting to the bill, to Valerie's Law, arguing that maintaining contact with the birth parent is in a child's best interest. Do you know if there's been any shift in TUSLA's reported stance?
Well, I haven't heard of any shift in their reported stance based on, like, their submission to the Oireachtas Committee. But in fairness, like, that was, you know, the middle of last year, and a lot has happened since. So I think, you know, it's important to kind of see that contact with the parent, who will probably be in prison if they've committed murder or manslaughter. Contact is a completely separate thing. If a child psychologist or another expert thinks contact would be a good thing and bring a child into a prison is a good thing, then, you know, that could be done. But this is about stripping the guardianship. It's not about removing contact, and they're two different things. The guardianship is the right of the killer to reach into the child's life and make decisions and, you know, invade their privacy. The contact is outgoing from the child for their best interests. On TUSLA's position, I haven't seen any update on their position, but, you know, all the experts in this space have come out, and, you know, I don't need to list all of them, but a lot of experts have come out and said, look, it would be a very rare case, even where contact was a good thing, but the contact is totally possible even after, you know, even after, if this law goes through as stated.
And David, have you heard from other families who've lost a loved one who was murdered or killed by their partner or former partner, and this anomaly is there whereby the killer still has access to the children? Have you heard of from many other families who are in the same tough position, terribly tough and tragic position that you and your family are in?
Yes. You know, rather than naming names of children and stuff, I can name people who, you know, are already in the media. Jasmine McMonagall's sister, Jasmine, was murdered back around 2019. Nadine Lott had children also, and her mum, Claire Lott, is quite visible and was on TV with me in a panel program early last year. And the most recent case, the murder of Dana Walsh, there's kids in that situation too. So there's quite a lot of us affected by this, and people don't realise like how many children are affected by this every year. When I met the commissioner in Brussels, you know, I said the numbers for Ireland. He immediately multiplied and went, "That's 700 to 1,000 per year across Europe." So it's not such a niche thing, and it's definitely not just us.
No, no, no. And that was the EU commissioner, was it?
Yes, Michael McGrath.
The former Fianna Fáil Minister for Finance, he was, yes, yes. And and may I ask you, David, are you surprised at the pace of it? How do you think it's been progressing, faster than you think or slower than you think, this campaign to change the law?
To be honest, I think faster. Faster than I'd expected. I think it's really positive. I mean, the government has a lot to do, and, you know, typically, that's how long it takes in my limited experience. I certainly don't think it's been super slow. I think there's a lot of complexities here. I think it's really important to do quality legislation that stands up, especially if you're skirting around kind of constitutional issues. But the Attorney General and, you know, Professor Louise Crowley, Associate Professor Brian Tobin, legal experts have come out and said, you know, the proposed text with suspending is constitutionally okay. So I think that sort of analysis and input takes time to do something properly. And yeah, I'm really happy with that we're at this stage right now. We're not done till we're done, but yeah.
What have you learned from all this experience, could I ask you, David? I mean, the horror of losing your sister, I can't even imagine that. But then having to... then having to let it sink in about the fact that the man who killed her still had access to her children. How were you able to muster the strength to say the law needs to be changed? We have no issue with parents who have murdered or have been found guilty of manslaughter, of killing or murdering their former partner or their spouse. But it needs their automatic right to having a say over their children's lives. That needs to be changed. I mean, that was a big, big, big challenge to say, we need to change the law. How did you gather the strength to do that?
I think, like, one part is, like, when it happens, you're in massive shock, and that goes on for ages. In a way, like, we were both lucky and unlucky when it came to the murder verdict. The murder verdict landed, but it landed in 2024, which was 5 years later. So we were silenced for 5 years, meaning, you know, Valerie's family were silenced for 5 years. And after 5 years, you're in a position to kind of have looked about it, looked at what's happening, and you're constantly surprised by the fact that, you know, someone's inside in jail. They're clearly, they have committed a killing. Whether they're going to be found guilty or not is up to the courts. But the fact that they're privileged all along, and you're looking at the situation and, you know, you're surprised and shocked. Then you look at all the research, because you can't talk to people, so you're reading stuff, and you see that there were recommendations already after the Clodagh Hall killings to remove and look at guardianship. So there, you come across this existing recommendation and you go, well, why isn't that law? And the answer, of course, is that there's another 211 recommendations in that massive report, and there's a lot of work needs to be done. So kind of getting behind a particular recommendation and saying, can we do this one? And can we put that up front and prioritise that for implementation? Because there's many more things need to be done. I mean, Jason Poole's work on the domestic violence register is a very obvious one. John Whelan, I think he's talking on radio later on today about sentencing and parole. There's a whole bunch of anomalies that really strike you. And in my view, the most important one is protection of the children who were left behind after the killing. But there's many other issues across property, across sentencing, across so on. And a lot of them are in existing government reports. And it just takes a particular story then and a particular kind of link to drive that on, a particular worked example. And, you know, sadly, we're the worked example in this case.
That is tragic, that the death of of your beloved sister Valerie had to be that example, that situation, that tragedy that has mobilized this recognition that the law does need to be changed. And as you pointed out there, David, in the whole area of domestic violence, it sounds as if we still, even though much progress has been made, there still needs to be a lot of legal, legislative changes to protect vulnerable children and other victims of domestic violence.
Yeah, absolutely. And like one thing, I mean, Professor Louise Crowley kind of pointed out a lot this morning, in particular when she was on radio, the general legislation, even going back to the referendum we had on Children First and all of that, you know, people are recognising children actually have rights on their own. They're not like little tools in someone else's rehabilitation. They're not like, they have an independent identity separate from the family they're in. And, you know, the logical conclusion then is protecting them. And that's where Valerie's Law comes in. But like there's a general mood in the legislation over the last 10 or 20 years, starting with UN conventions, to have children recognized and to protect them and not just see this kind of mythical family as a thing that has to be protected regardless of terrible crimes like murder. And that's, you know, it's a necessary thing, but it follows on from a lot of previous legislation and kind of thinking in that space.
What do you mean by the mythical family?
I think there's what shocked us after the murder of Valerie was that there didn't seem to be an acceptance that the family was gone. Like, you know, one minute you've got a family with a mother, father and children, and, you know, then he has killed her. And it's not a family that's missing the mother in a normal sense. This was an intentional killing. It was a verdict of murder. So you kind of have to move on and go, look, these are individuals. There's a killer. There's children. That family is finished. Like, that family is done, and that has to be kind of accepted. And, you know, if contact with the killer is an important thing for the children's development, then fair play, do that. But the family as such and the rights that go with it in this terrible situation of murder is, like, it is no more. It's, you know, it's a logical thing. The family just rocks on regardless of a crime like that.
And does that need to be still reflected? Does that need to be reflected with further constitutional or including legislative change?
I don't know. I'm not a legal expert or person. So I think it's important that the courts have the power to do things to protect children in this situation. And like the law, as we saw it at the start, was very much about giving courts powers to protect children, because without Valerie's Law, the courts can't do anything about this person's guardianship. And, you know, courts can take away guardianship in cases of adoption, as I understand it. And adoption is a totally different thing. Like, murder is the most serious crime. And what we've noticed is that there doesn't seem to be any consequences outside of the criminal law system. You know, your rights under family law and your rights under property law are relatively unaffected. And that seems a massive anomaly, because, you know, killing someone intentionally is the worst crime. And the person who has done it is not someone who should be around kids. That seems logical enough, but the law hasn't reflected it up until now.
And does there need to be a societal change as well?
Well, I think there's a, like, of the cases that I followed, there always seems to be a massive sense of entitlement from someone who kills their partner. And that entitlement isn't just about the life of their partner. It very often, that's who they are, and they feel entitled to interfere with children's lives and interfere with a whole bunch of stuff. And that kind of sense of entitlement of typically violent men, there are women in the situation, but it's typically violent men, that sense of entitlement is something that society kind of needs to look at and go, look, you do stuff like that, you do lose rights. And it isn't something that, you know, is inviolable. You're not given rights over children in the Constitution, regardless of what you do. If you do something like murder, which is the most serious thing, then we need to look at, you know, what powers are left to you.
Well, look, thank you so much for your time. I know this is not a position you ever wanted to be in, David, but you've shown great courage and determination, and it looks now that Valerie's law, in honour of your beloved sister Valerie, will be enacted. Killers will be stripped of guardianship rights to their children if they're convicted of murdering a partner or the parent of a child, under plans to be discussed at Cabinet tomorrow. That is Valerie's law in honour of Valerie French and David French's sister. And David, thank you again for talking to us. David has written a powerful book as well called For Valerie, The Story of My Sister's Death at the Hands of Her Husband and Its Devastating Aftermath. That book is called For Valerie. And if anyone is affected, Adapt Women's Refuge Centre may be contacted. They are on kerryrefuge.com, and I'll give you their phone number as well. 066-712-9100. 066-712-9100.